This is Artificially Intelligent News for Monday, August 17, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with AI and fact-checked against current authoritative reporting. It is a calm morning briefing, current as of early Monday. The Democratic National Committee has approved a new early state calendar for its 2028 presidential nominating process, ending the long-standing first-in-the-nation role of Iowa and New Hampshire. The proposed order begins with South Carolina on January 22nd. Nevada follows on February 1st, then New Hampshire, New Mexico, Michigan, and Virginia before Super Tuesday. The change was ratified during the party's summer meeting in Austin. Democratic officials say the sequence is intended to test candidates with a broader range of voters and competitive states. The new lineup includes Nevada and Michigan as battlegrounds, along with states with substantial Black, Latino, union, military, and non-college voter populations. The decision is important now because primary calendars shape candidate travel, campaign spending, media attention, and the earliest judgments about viability. But it is not necessarily settled in practice. New Hampshire has a state law requiring it to hold the nation's first primary, and Iowa Democrats have indicated they could resist the party's timetable. The party has set a mid-September deadline for New Hampshire to submit a compliance plan. At the White House, the administration has asked the Supreme Court to let construction continue on President Trump's planned ballroom while a legal appeal proceeds. The administration's filing seeks to pause a divided ruling from the Federal Appeals Court in Washington. That ruling said the president must halt the project because Congress has not approved it. The administration says the project is privately funded, tied to security needs, and on schedule. The preservation group challenging it says the construction should not outrun judicial review. The plan calls for a 90,000-square-foot ballroom on the site of the former East Wing. The administration puts its cost at about $400 million. The appeals court's decision is set to take effect on August 21st, unless the Supreme Court intervenes. Chief Justice John Roberts has given the challengers until Tuesday to respond. This is not a final ruling on whether the ballroom may be built. It is an emergency request over whether work can continue while the underlying case moves through the courts. The dispute raises a larger question about the limits of presidential authority to alter a historic public building without a specific act of Congress. Public health policy is also drawing close attention after President Trump signed an executive order calling for a different childhood vaccination schedule. The order favors giving childhood vaccines at separate appointments when possible. It calls for the combined measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine to be made available as three individual shots and directs the Health and Human Services Department to develop a plan for those single disease options. Those individual MMR shots are not currently available in the United States. The administration says the change would expand parental choice and support additional research. Medical and public health experts say the established combination schedule has been extensively studied and that spreading shots across more visits can leave children exposed longer to preventable disease if families miss later appointments. It is important to separate policy from scientific evidence here. Decades of research have found no link between vaccines and autism. The order itself does not immediately rewrite the vaccine schedule, and some related actions by the health department have already been blocked in court. The practical questions now are what federal agencies propose, how clinicians and vaccine makers respond, and whether further legal challenges follow. In California, a jury has delivered a closely watched verdict against Meta and YouTube in a case over whether their platforms were designed to hook young users without sufficient concern for harm. The Los Angeles jury awarded $3 million to a 20-year-old woman identified by her initials, KGM. Jurors later recommended another $3 million in punitive damages after finding malice, oppression, or fraud. The judge will decide the final damages award. The plaintiff testified that heavy social media use beginning in childhood worsened her mental health struggles. Meta and Google-owned YouTube dispute the verdict and say they will consider an appeal. Meta argues that teen mental health is complex and cannot be traced to one app. YouTube says it is a streaming platform rather than a social media service. The immediate dollar amount is modest for companies of that size. The significance is the precedent. Thousands of related cases are pending, and legal analysts are watching to see whether this verdict affects settlement talks, appeals, and the way courts assess product design claims involving children. In the Southwest, Lake Powell reached a record low over the weekend, underscoring the pressure on the Colorado River system. The Bureau of Reclamation recorded Lake Powell at 3,519.91 feet above sea level on Saturday. That is slightly below the reservoir's previous low in April 2023. It is more than 20 feet below where the lake stood at the start of this year. Lake Powell and Lake Mead are central storage reservoirs for a river system that supports more than 40 million people, hydropower, agriculture, cities, and ecosystems across 7 states. Persistent overuse, a very dry winter, and higher temperatures have reduced both reservoirs. Lake Powell is now roughly 30 feet above the level at which its turbines would stop producing hydroelectric power. Federal officials have said a major intervention would be needed to avoid that threshold by the end of this year. The Bureau of Reclamation has proposed a 10-year management plan that could mean major water cuts for Arizona, California, and Nevada. The negotiations are difficult because every state depends on the river, and because the lower water level has consequences far beyond water bills, including electricity generation, recreation, and local economies. The coming midterm elections are also being shaped by redistricting fights. In Northern California, Representative Kevin Kiley is running as an independent after the state's new map broke apart his old Republican-leaning district. Kiley is seeking the California 6th District seat in November. The revised map moved parts of his former constituency into several separate districts and placed his home in a more Democratic-leaning district near Sacramento. He still caucuses with House Republicans, but his ballot designation is no party preference. His race is one example of a broader national contest over mid-decade maps. Republicans redrew districts in Texas and elsewhere, and Democratic-led states have pursued countermeasures. Each side argues that the other began the escalation. For voters, the immediate effect is more basic. Familiar communities and political coalitions are being placed in different congressional districts. And in Lexington, Kentucky, police are investigating a shooting at Charles Young Park that killed one person and wounded 4 others Saturday night. Police said officers found 5 victims after responding shortly before 7 p.m. The 4 surviving victims were believed to have non-life-threatening injuries. Local officials said 2 children ages 4 and 14 were among those shot. Police had not identified a suspect as of early Monday, and the chief said authorities did not believe there was an ongoing threat to the public. Investigators are asking anyone with information to contact Lexington police. As with any active criminal investigation, the facts could change as detectives identify those involved and determine what led to the shooting. Outside the United States, Ukraine carried out one of its largest aerial attacks of the war over the weekend, while Russia continued strikes on Ukrainian cities. Russian authorities said at least 6 people were killed in the Ukrainian attack. Russia's defense ministry said it destroyed 822 drones overnight, and Moscow's mayor said about 600 drones were detected heading toward the capital. Those claims have not been independently verified, and they should be understood as wartime statements from Russian officials. Ukraine has increasingly used drones and long-range weapons against military industries and energy facilities inside Russia. President Volodymyr Zelensky said Ukraine had used its domestically produced Flamingo missiles against a rocket research and production center in Samara, about 560 miles from the Ukrainian border. At the same time, Russian strikes killed people and caused fires in Ukraine. A missile attack on Kryvyi Rih killed 2 people and wounded 14, according to Zelensky. Other strikes hit Kyiv and other regions. One fire tore through a major book market near the Pochina metro station in the capital. The scale of the exchange matters because it shows neither side is close to simply absorbing the conflict at the front line. Long-range attacks are bringing the war deeper into both countries, targeting infrastructure, industry, and civilian areas while raising the risk of further escalation. Indonesia is dealing with a separate humanitarian emergency after a magnitude 7.7 earthquake struck offshore early Saturday. Authorities said at least 47 people were killed and dozens more were injured on the islands near East Nusa Tenggara province. Buildings and homes collapsed, and officials warned that the death toll was likely to rise as crews reached damaged areas. Indonesia sits on the Pacific Ring of Fire and experiences frequent earthquakes and volcanic activity. Even so, this disaster is a reminder of how quickly a powerful offshore quake can turn into a local rescue crisis, especially across a large archipelago where damaged roads, communications, and distance can slow the first response. Now to the economy and market. Because Monday is the first trading day after the weekend, the most recent completed U.S. session was Friday, August 14th. These are final closing figures, not futures or intraday prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 107.58 points, or 0.2%, to close at 53,732.41. The S&P 500 lost 13.23 points, also 0.2%, closing at 7,785.76. the NASDAQ Composite fell 73.86 points, or 0.3%, to finish at 26,729.16. Stocks pulled back from record territory after new evidence of a softer consumer economy. The Commerce Department reported that retail sales fell 0.6% in July, the largest monthly decline since May of last year. Economists had expected a small increase, and June's figure was revised to a gain of 0.2%. The report followed a spring period when tax refunds helped support spending, and shoppers also spent around events such as the World Cup and Amazon Prime Day. July's decline does not by itself establish a broader downturn. Monthly retail figures can be volatile, but consumer spending is the largest part of the U.S. economy, so a surprise drop carries weight. The policy backdrop is complicated. Consumer prices rose 3.4% in July from a year earlier, down slightly from June, but still above the Federal Reserve's 2% inflation goal. Higher energy prices linked to uncertainty around the Iran conflict remain a concern. On Friday, Brent crude rose to $88.52 a barrel. For the Fed, weaker spending could argue for lower interest rates if the economy loses momentum. But elevated inflation and oil uncertainty limit how clear that signal is. That tension is why markets reacted cautiously rather than treating the retail report as simply good news for borrowing costs. In sports, Islam Makhachev added a record to his welterweight title defense at UFC 330 in Philadelphia. Makhachev defeated Ian Machado Gary by unanimous decision Saturday night for his 17th consecutive UFC victory, the promotion's record. Two judges scored the five-round fight 49-46, and the third had it 48-47. The result was competitive. Makhachev left the cage with cuts and bruising after absorbing significant strikes, but his work over five rounds was enough to retain the 170-pound championship. The record puts him ahead of a long list of champions and contenders in a sport where sustained winning streaks are especially difficult because elite fighters are regularly matched against one another. Baseball is mourning Tommy John, the former major league pitcher whose name became synonymous with an operation that changed the sport. He died Saturday at his home in Bradenton, Florida. He was 83. John won 288 games across a 26-year career and made four All-Star teams. In 1974, he tore the ulnar collateral ligament in his pitching elbow. Dodgers physician Dr. Frank Jobe reconstructed the ligament using a tendon from John's forearm. John became the first pitcher to return successfully from the procedure. The surgery, now called Tommy John surgery, has since been performed on more than 2,600 major leaguers and countless amateur players. It did not make pitching risk-free, and rehabilitation remains long and demanding. But it transformed what had once been viewed as a career-ending injury, allowing generations of pitchers to return to the mound. A quick results roundup from Sunday. The Seattle Mariners edged the Houston Astros 3-2. In Major League Soccer, Nashville beat Lionel Messi's Inter Miami 4-1. In the WNBA, the Chicago Sky held off the Seattle Storm 82-80. The New York Yankees beat the Toronto Blue Jays 4-3. And in Philadelphia, Makhachev's decision over Machado Gary finished 49-46 on two cards and 48-47 on the third. Finally, entertainment news. Hayden Panettiere, the actor known for Heroes in Nashville, has died at age 36. Her father, Skip Panettiere, announced her death in a statement Sunday. No cause of death was announced, and a publicist did not immediately respond to a request for comment from the Associated Press. Panettiere began acting as a child in commercials and soap operas. She became widely known in 2006 as Claire Bennett, the cheerleader with powers at the center of Heroes. She later starred as Juliet Barnes in the country music drama Nashville. Her career also included film roles, voice acting, and a return to the Scream franchise. Her death is a loss felt across television, film, and the many viewers who grew up watching her work. With no cause announced, it is important to leave the circumstances there and avoid speculation. That is the briefing for this Monday morning. The Democratic primary calendar, a White House case before the Supreme Court, vaccine policy, Lake Powell, the war in Ukraine, market signals, and the stories moving sports and culture. Follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening, and take care.